This is a brief supplementary recording on David Hume. So Hume is an empiricist. He's the most radical of the empiricists. Unlike, Locke, who believes in God and cause and effect and the mind and the material world, of course, Hume believes in none of those things. He just say there are ideas and the association of ideas. So Berkeley still believes in God. He believes in mental cause and effect, which is his idea of willing or intentional action. So there's a kind of a mental or spiritual cause and effect, and there's still minds and there's still ideas. And so Hume gets rid of God, gets rid of cause and effect completely, and gets rid of the concept of the mind, and of course the concept of matter. He agrees with Berkeley's criticisms of Locke in that regard, and so he's left with only with ideas. Perceptions of virtue are of two types. They are impressions and ideas. Impressions are the lively ones that force themselves on you, and faint, and ideas are the faint copies of those used in thinking. They're hazy and less detailed, and they're under our control, so they're more active. Let me see if I can look over these questions. Let's just jump to cause and effect. The three components of the concept of cause and effect: contiguity, that the objects have to touch; priority and time, that the cause has to always precede the effect; and necessary connection, that's the idea of the mustness of causation, that if A happens, that B must happen. And in order for cause and effect to be a valid concept, Hume says all three have to be verified in experience. And you can only verify the first two because you can't observe necessity with the senses. So he concludes that the necessity in cause and effect must be in us. It's a custom or a psychological habituation from seeing two things over and over again conjoined in our experience. And we, after this conditioning, like Pavlov's dog, we assume that the effect must happen right after the cause. Let's see. Okay, we dealt with how does Hume define perceptions, impressions, ideas? Oh, the test for whether an idea ought to be rejected is whether it can be verified through sense experience. Sorry, trying to get my cat from climbing on my stack of papers and knocking it to the ground here. Let's see. So Hume's question is, from what impression is the supposed idea derived? So if an idea can't be traced to more than one or more impressions, then it should be rejected. The three components of cause and effect we just talked about, and only the first two can be verified through experience. Necessity can't. So therefore, the concept of cause and effect has to go. And what accounts for it is psychological conditioning. That's question four. Question five, what's Hume's view on the existence of the self, mind, and persons? No such animal. The self the mind is just a bundle of perceptions. So it doesn't have any independent existence. It doesn't have any persistence through time. It doesn't have any unity at one time. It's not a substance. It's just a way of talking about a collection of perceptions which are mysteriously together in our experience. Okay, I lost my place. And I guess that's it for Hume. So, brief review on Hume. Good luck on the exam. And if you have any questions, as always, send me a Moodle message or come by office hours.